In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we see what our future will be like. Because in the transfiguration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we see a glimpse into the future, a short one. He was illuminated before his disciples. Or should I say, really, he was not illuminated. The illumination came from him, the uncreated light. He illuminated them with who he really is. When he walked the earth, for the most part, except for this moment, he covered his divinity with his humanity. People couldn't see the uncreated light. But it's there. And in the next life, it will be always there. He won't go back to just looking like a plain man. He will always be shining with this uncreated light, and we will be in his presence. That's the future that we are looking at. Now, I think it's really instructive to look at how people related to our Lord, both at the Transfiguration and at those types of the Transfiguration, which of course we read about in Vespers yesterday, when Moses was on Mount Sinai and saw the back parts of God, and also Elijah, when he heard the still small voice, and it was the voice of the Lord. You see the reactions of people both before and during and after when God manifested himself to them, and it gives you some instruction, not only about how to act, but also some expectation, some understanding that your human nature will be changed over time. Here's what I mean by this. When the apostles saw the Lord transfigured, this was late at night, they were sleepy. But when they woke up, they were terrified. They fell back. The icon shows them falling back in fear. Not because the Lord was threatening, but because to be in God's presence is to be in the presence of an all-consuming, all-devouring fire. That fire consumes sin. And when there is sin in us, we feel undone by being in the presence of God. We see the same thing with Elijah. When the still small voice came, what did he do? He covered his face in his mantle because he was in the presence of God and he was afraid. Not afraid for his physical safety, but to be in the presence of God is an overwhelming thing. And human nature is not ready for it without preparation. Without preparation and purification. Now Moses had to be covered by God's hand, as the Lord, the pre-incarnate Lord, said to him. He would cover him with his hand, place him in the cleft of a rock when he would pass by, and Moses would see the back parts of his glory, that is the uncreated light of God. Human nature is not ready to see God as he really is. That's the whole point of the incarnation. Jesus Christ became man to be able so that our nature would be changed. But it's a process that happens in each one of us. It begins with baptism, and it continues through our desiring to follow the commandments, our failing, our getting up, our trying again, all of our repentance, and God's grace helping us. Now let us look at what happened after the theophanies of God, whether it be the Transfiguration or the two that we read about in the Old Testament last night. Moses, after he came down from the mountain, was so bright that the people couldn't look at him. But eventually that brightness wore off, and the people could look at him. And Moses was a great man. But there were times when he complained because the people were cantankerous and difficult. And so even though he had been in the presence of God, sometimes he forgot a little bit. And that's why he didn't make it into the land of milk and honey. He could see it, but he couldn't go in. Perhaps for that, just that one sin. Greater than all of us, and yet still a human being, still needing to learn, still forgetting things, even after being in the presence of God. Now, Elijah, really, after, of course, his encounter with God in the cave, there's not much left of his story. But beforehand, what happened? Just before this happened, he had this great sacrifice consumed with fire from heaven, killed all the prophets of Baal, had a great victory, and then he became terrified. He became afraid because he was afraid that Jezebel would kill him. So he ran away like a scared little puppy. We would have done it too. That's how human nature is. Elijah did something that was very brave, incredibly brave, and then he got scared. That happens to us, doesn't it? We do good stuff, and then we do something that we just want, we scratch our head, and why did we do that? We're good one day and bad the next, or perhaps 1 minute, good and bad the next minute. Just like Elijah, just like the holy prophet Moses, just like the apostles, right? What did the apostles do after the transfiguration? Well, probably they were still arguing about who would be greatest, and certainly that might have happened beforehand because the transfiguration occurred very late in our Lord's ministry. But certainly, they were afraid at the time of his passion and ran away. Even though they all said we would die, they all ran away because of the weakness of human nature. These things are there for our instruction because we're weak. Because we get afraid and because we sin and because we forget stuff and because we're lazy sometimes and because sometimes we just don't know why we do what we do. But if you believe, if you struggle to follow the commandments, God will help you and you'll be perfected so that you can be in the presence of God permanently, with his light always shining upon you and illuminating you, without being undone by your sins, because your sins will have been, at that point, all burned up and gone. Remember what I tell you often. Jesus Christ didn't come only to forgive sins. That would be cruel, because a forgiven sinner is still a sinner. And as a sinner, he still suffers from his actions or his lack of actions, from his ignorance, from his blindness. Our Lord came so that we could be freed from sin. Not just forgiven, but perfected. And the transfiguration shows the state that we will be in eventually. Not what the apostles were doing. The apostles still had sin. The apostles still were a bit ignorant. But later on, they would know. That is why Peter's account, the Apostle Peter's account in his second epistle is so important. Because that was years later, looking back, and Peter had really changed. Peter had become very holy. And he could look back and say that he was an eyewitness of the majesty of our Lord. And he could say just before that in his epistle that we are to be partakers of divine nature. It's a bold and audacious, a scandalous statement that most people don't understand, because that's the purpose of our life, to be partakers of divine nature. And we see this divine nature today in the Transfiguration. So let us look at the people that were involved in the Transfiguration and draw parallels to ourselves. That's what we should do when we read the Gospels, the Epistles, any of the Bible. I've told you about that many times. It's really important. You can see that Elias did a great thing and then he was afraid. But then what happened? The Lord nourished him, and after 40 days of travel and fasting, he showed himself to Elias and strengthened him. That's going to happen to us too. The apostles, they became very afraid. They ran away after spending 3 years with their Lord. after promising they would never go away from him. They would never leave him. They would die with him. They ran away. Peter denied him even 3 times. But what happened after that? The Lord strengthened them, and they became perfected. It's going to happen to us too. That's why their foibles are in the scriptures as well as their virtues. Because it's going to happen to us too. That's the promise of transfiguration. Although transfiguration is certainly the primary point of our celebrating transfiguration, is that our Lord Jesus Christ is God and he's shown forth in all of his glory. The reason for all these occurrences with the people, both before, during, and after, are for our instruction. Because if we didn't see that somebody could do it, we would lose faith. We would falter. Well, many people have done it with God helping them. So it'll help happen to us too. That is why transfiguration is a wonderful promise to us. That's the most important thing that you can get from this feast. Oh, there's lots of theology there. I've talked about it before. Hopefully we'll talk about it after Trapeza. Why Moses and Elias were there, why they were speaking of his decease, why his transfiguration occurred just before his passion and crucifixion, why they went up on a mountain. Lots of things that are very important and very beautiful. But the main part of the story is, this is your future. Get ready for it. Cast away your sin. Start working a little bit harder. Look what you have to look forward to. You can be changed so that you can be in the presence of God and completely illuminated without any sin, without any weakness, without any feeling bad, without any self-judgment of yourself. You know how you feel bad about yourself for the things you do, things you don't do. All that will be gone. Isn't that worth working for? That's what the story of Transfiguration really is about. This is your future. So may God help you to get ready for it. Knowing this, I think you should pray a little bit more. You fast a little bit better. Maybe begin to fast. Struggle a little bit more with your sins. Because look what's going to happen. The Transfiguration tells you. And all the context around it tells you how to achieve it with struggle and with going 2 steps forward and maybe 1.5 steps backward, but still on the whole going forward. God will help you with this. May it be that we struggle so that we'll be in the uncreated light. God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.